we're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be
having a great time,
you want to be
loving the fun,
if you want to see all of the excitement, this is the place and we're the one. If you want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see, come on out and join us. This is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
If you want to see
the best of the big leagues,
you want to be
loving the day, come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays.
This is where it happens.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Hey, Matt.
Good morning. How do you do?
Hey, Matt.
Just want to talk about the boys in blue.
Hey, Matt.
Now that you've been here a year, what's your favorite KCQ?
Hey, Matt.
What's new in the clubhouse, the bullpen, and the lineup, too?
Hey, Matt.
How was the road trip? Bob and Dusty want to know.
Hey, Matt.
What do you think of Slugger and FM radio?
Hey, Matt.
Is it true you're a deadhead, too?
Hey, Matt.
Kid Baseball want to talk music with you.
Here on 96.5 The Fan, your hometown roofing team, KC-based and female-owned Century Roofing. CenturyRoofing.com is the sponsor for our Wednesday interview with Royals manager Matt Cotrero. Matt, how damn good does it feel to be in first place in the AL Central, my man?
This has been a crazy couple days going back to the weekend series at home, but these last couple days worked out really well. I'm really proud of these guys for how well they've played and the things they've gone through the last couple of days with the rain delay and the doubleheader. So really couldn't be happier for them and really proud of their efforts.
I mean, look at where you guys were at, just in June, right? 10 games back of Cleveland, right? And people are thinking, okay, maybe they can get a wild card. You're in first place. You have the tiebreaker over Cleveland right now. I think you guys are playing inspired baseball. I think maybe Cleveland peaked a little bit too early. You're peaking right at the right time. You're playing great baseball against them as well. I mean, what do you attribute this to right now, to this success of this club?
Well, I mean, it all starts with pitching. Pitching is what drives most really good teams. I think the other thing is the attitude of this team is one day at a time. It's not looking too far ahead, not looking too far in the past, and just coming in with a great attitude every day. And I think I've mentioned before, I mean, these guys are an inspiring group of guys to be around because of that. You know, they have a good day, they have a bad day, they turn the page, they come to beat you the next day. And like you just said, at some point we were 10 games back, whenever that was, and you can start to, if you choose to look like, oh, wow, that's insurmountable. But this is baseball, right? I mean, every team's going to go through ups and downs. You know, that's why nothing's decided. And this is fun. This is why you play. You know, you're in a race. You got two or three teams competing for the division. You're trying to do the best you can. And every day you have to bring it. And that's what this team does a great job of.
You know, you say every team has their ups and downs, but you guys have only lost four in a row at the most this year. How have you been able to not have one of those long losing skids like seemingly everybody has had so far this year?
Well, the first answer that comes to mind is pitching, right? Because pitching is what gives you a chance to win every day. And we've had outstanding starting pitching throughout the entire season. The bullpen, as you saw yesterday, was remarkable. I mean, those are the things. when you limit the other team from scoring, you give your chance to win. And we've had really good production in the lineup. You know, we have different ways to beat teams. If we're not hitting homers, we can steal bases. You know, so that we have a diverse team, which I think is a good identity to have. But again, it starts with pitching and defense, and you know, that's been our hallmark.
So a lot of winning, but a little bit of sacrifice as well. Cole Reagan's in that first game, Lorenzen last night, and then Bobby Witt gets plunked in that game as well. Maybe just an update on all three of those guys there, Matt?
Yeah, Cole's fine. You know, he just cramped up. It was hot. You know, it was day game, that kind of stuff. And he does everything he can to prepare himself. That doesn't happen, but sometimes it does. You know, he said yesterday just a little more, like, muscle soreness in his leg, but he'll be fine. Lorenzen's actually back in KC right now getting an MRI so we can get the extent of the injury. You know, we don't really know, but likely going to need a little bit of time. And Bobby's fine. You know, just it glanced off his left arm, then hit his right hand. But he's fine. He stayed in, made a nice throw after that, hit a ball 110 miles an hour. So I think he's all right.
Do you start to worry though, Matt, about the frustration that the other teams have, and you start to get concerned a little bit that maybe they're trying to throw up and in on Bobby on purpose a little bit, and now it's time for a little Jose Ramirez boom right in the ribs type of thing?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't think that was intentional yesterday. I mean, Bobby's such a good hitter that you have to pitch him in at times, you know, to keep him honest, because he hits so. You know, I don't think that guy was thrown at him intentionally. So, you know, that's my opinion of it.
Okay. The bullpen has been spectacular in this Cleveland series. I mean, it was a part of the team that everybody was talking about. Like, oh, I don't know about the bullpen. 16 2/3, they've given up 2 runs. And they've done it in tough situations, too. Yesterday, obviously, with the rain delay and the injury. And then also on Monday with Reagan's going down. Like, I think the bullpen's pitching great right now. Are you building a house?
I'll tell you what, they're renovating this entire clubhouse, not our clubhouse, but the whole underneath of the stadium here. It's part of their massive renovation, and they work right up until, you know, the players get here. So it just sounds like it is. It's a construction zone constantly here, but I'm actually not helping them do it. So
yeah, you got a big one to worry about already. So,
but the bullpen, yeah. I mean, without them in this series, who knows where we would be. You know, yesterday, those guys all pitched the day before, too. You know, so they were running on fumes a little bit. But after the rain delay, the five no base runners reached, 15 up, 15 down. And for Carlos to come out of the pen in the second inning and do what he did, first and third, two outs, gets a big strikeout, and then two solid innings after that. You know, he hasn't gone that long in a while. So, you know, they really were nails yesterday and the day before, too. I mean, they come in a tough spot. MacArthur as well, you know, just gets it rolling. I think it was Sam Long the day before, and then just piecing it together and everybody just handing it off to the next guy, and they all did their job.
We're talking to Royals manager Matt Cotrero here on 96.5 The Fan on Fesco and Dusty. It is brought to you by Century Roofing, your hometown roofing team, KC-based, female-owned, centuryroofing.com. I want to bring this up because I know it's not a surprise to you, but it seems that in times of need, sometimes guys show up. We just talk about the bullpen. You look at what your 2, 3, 4 guys are doing. All three guys are probably going to have 100 RBIs. You also look at the surgence that you've seen in MJ Melendez and the addition of Paul DeJong. This team just seems to kind of be clicking right when you'd love to see that as a manager of this squad. It's got to feel pretty great seeing all that happen at the right time of the year, especially in this riptide of the season going up against all these big teams.
Yeah, again, whoever we're playing doesn't matter to me as much as the way we play, because that's all we can control, you know, and these guys, like I said, they can control their effort, their energy, their attitude, and that's what they do. And, you know, we try to go out there and win every night regardless of who we're playing. But to see the production from those guys, that's why we're winning, right? If we can suppress runs and add them on our side, you know, you need length in a lineup. You can't rely on one person, two people to be a really good team night in and night out. And that's why these guys all embrace their role. We use everybody, try to keep guys fresh. You know, big hits the other day from Hampson and Blanco and those guys too. So Massey got a big hit yesterday. It's just, you know, you just got to have that selflessness and putting the team before yourself.
as a manager for the first time today, you're taking the field as a first place manager. Congratulations. We love it here. I'm wearing my The Central is Ours t-shirt from 2015. Finally broke that back out because we're in first place today. Do you have to do anything different as like the manager to manage a first place ball club now and maybe, you know, kind of knock them down a peg where they don't get, you know, too big and feeling great about themselves, but like kind of keep perspective?
No, not with this group. I mean, you know, it's exactly what we just talked about. They don't care that they care, but they're not gloating that we tied these guys. We're tied with Cleveland. Our goal is to win the division. Keep your focus on one day at a time. These guys are so good at that. We have so many really stable vets in there, the Waka, Lugo, Salvi, all those guys, you know, and then the other guys follow that lead. And that's what the best teams do. They're player led.
Maybe this is my fault for not getting personal with you, but I need to ask who's your football team that you tend to root for? I assume is it the Jets or the Giants?
The Chiefs.
Okay,
come on, man.
There you go.
Okay, that's fine. So we had a fun question the other day here, Matt, and it was if you had the opportunity to go watch a playoff game in football, per se, 50-yard line, 7 rows up, or would you rather take a ticket to see Dead & Company at the Sphere in Las Vegas? Which one would you choose?
Oh, I'd go to the football game for sure.
Okay, fair really? All right. All right. What if they give you backstage passes?
You know what? I would take them both and figure out how to get there for both of them.
That's right.
Well, when you win the World Series, you'll have plenty of private jets at your disposal that you can use snapping your fingers and calling Patrick Mahomes and saying, I'm borrowing the plane today. I want to go to both of these events. All right,
That sounds a lot like me. Yeah. Yeah.
It does, yeah. It's 100% you, right?
That's great.
All right, little baseball card action here. I'm holding, a 92 Topps. Featuring a gentleman named Terry Mulholland.
92.
Mm-hmm.
The Twins.
No, Philadelphia Phillies at that time.
Ooh, I had Twins too.
Phillies at that time. All right. 90 Fleer, Charlie Hayes.
90. Giants?
No, Phillies again.
Oh, All right.
Last one. We got an 89 score featuring, I never heard of this cat, John Farrell.
You never heard of John Farrell?
No. Is he related to my friend Carol Farrell? Do you know?
He managed the Red Sox and the Blue Jays.
Oh, yeah? Nope, yeah. Don't know him.
What year?
89.
Cleveland.
You got it. You got it. You're one for three. You're a Hall of Famer, my friend, and a first place manager at that.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
All right.
Go get them.
Stay away from that construction. Yeah. We don't want any debris falling on you.
That was Royals manager Matt Cotrero joining the show here on 96.5 The Fan.
Now that he said John Farrell was that manager, I'm like, but I didn't realize it was the same guy.
He was very disappointed in
him. I know.
That's okay.
Just being honest.
Royals manager Matt Cotrero joined the show. If you missed it, go back and check it out on the podcast page. Mac Morey, executive producer. Bob Fesco, executive radio host. Dusty Likens, just damn glad to be here. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for sports radio.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey with you today until about, 39 more minutes, and then Cody and Gold take over for, another hour?
Huge hour show coming your way on Cody and Gold.
Love to see you. The guys are ready to go.
I think they're sleeping out in the newsroom.
No, I just talked to them.
Oh, okay, good.
We were talking Bills and Chiefs because John Grayson was out there of 98-1.
He's a Bills fan.
Big time.
Have you seen his Bills car that he drives around? Yeah.
Yeah, good guy.
Bills car.
Oh, yeah. It's like a 67 Chevelle.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, 1967 was a year, Mac. I know you're not familiar with a lot of
good.
That.
That's very good.
And I did see one that came in on the text line. I was wondering if you got it earlier. Somebody texted in Sam Cooke Chain Gang. Do you know that? Do you know that reference at all?
I don't think so.
That's the sound of the man working on the chain.
Okay.
Gang.
That was Bob Fesco's What He Doesn't Want to See Disappear from Sports, which is the one thing is Chain Gang.
So. Chain Gang and the AFC-NFC Championship games being at home venues.
Mm-hmm.
God, we got really close to having that disaster. Yep.
Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented IQ technology is number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. It was yesterday, some people would say that it was a
I don't know, non-surprising day for cuts, I guess you could say, because Kadarius Toney obviously no longer with the Chiefs. I think everybody kind of saw that. So the return of, you know, Kadarius Toney might live forever in your heart.
Sipos will punt. End over end, shorter punt. And Toney will take it low at the 35. Now cuts back to the right. He's got a wall set. If he can get to the edge, they need to block the punter. They do. Toney's at the 40, up the sideline. At the 30, he's at the 20. Toney with the block trying to stay in play. He's down to the 5-yard line. Toney ran out of gas on a 65-yard punt return. And the Chiefs lead 28-27. They'll have first down and goal to go at the Eagles' 5-yard line with 10-11 to go in the game.
Yeah, Toney ran out of gas on that play and in Kansas City.
Who your favorite teammate is?
Pat Mahomes.
One of the best sound bites ever, which will live as a Kadarius Toney highlight, which is sad to say because there wasn't really that many.
Oh, there's a lot of Kadarius Toney highlights over the years.
Okay. Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now.
And the pass is going to be intercepted off of Kadarius Toney.
Yeah. A sad day, I guess, for some, because it was the inevitable, right? Like, it was a former first-round pick, didn't work with his former team. Maybe it was a team thing. Let's bring him over to a new place as a new face.
Yeah.
See if it works. First real glimpse we saw was the play where he adjusted his gloves in the air, went up for the ball, kept 2 feet in, and toe tap for a first down. It was like, okay, whoa.
Whoa, right.
If he's got that with the speed and the connection with Mahomes, maybe they could change him as a new dynamic receiver. And then we heard the rumors the next year of the Chiefs could see him being as the number one receiver.
Of course.
And it went from that rumor to the Chiefs are probably and most likely and ended up doing so, cutting Kadarius Toney because too many headaches along the way. The plan never surfaced, and it was one of those just failed experiences that didn't work, that didn't really cost you a whole lot. But look, whether your most memorable memory was the return. I kind of agree with Carrington. There's not a whole lot to me that says that that's like a super, super big significant play because Philadelphia would then regain the lead. The Chiefs would then go down and kick the field goal to win and whatever. I mean, it is what it is. But to me, it's just, I will always remember the Kadarius Toney thing as the way I remember the Adalberto Mondesi experiment. Now, the Royals obviously drafted and tried to develop Adalberto Mondesi, but injuries kept compiling up. And that's kind of the thing that happened with Kadarius Toney is that it seemed like he was, you know, Mr. Glass. Just couldn't stay healthy. Got hurt in a punt return on the first day of camp 1 year and no pads involved. And then this year comes up, gets kind of, you know, injured again. They're doing experiences where can he be a running back? Can he spell there? Can he kick return? Can he do this? Then he plays in a game where he creates 2 penalties himself on 1 play. And it's one of those things where enough is enough and it's time for a change.
2 penalties on 1 play is epic.
Yeah. And then you look at last year, the headaches he created for the starting quarterback who had never shown emotion before. And then I think the final straw was the tip pass that ended up being an interception against New England, which was a team that you shouldn't have any issues with. And then after that, it was just, you're a healthy scratch. You're too much of a issue than you are a significant increase. So they went away from it. And then this year the inevitable happened and they decided to part ways with Kadarius Toney and brought in, of course,
anybody else but Kadarius Toney. Yeah.
If Alex could find something to pull, get it in the air, he would get some help. Familia's next pitch.
And the pass is going to be intercepted off of Kadarius Toney.
He didn't need the win.
You hate to see it.
Like, I don't think anybody's really upset.
Is anybody
right?
going to pick him up?
Yes. Not one team offered a trade for Kadarius Toney, right? No. Like, you knew he was going to be released, okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, just like whoever that Cam Thomas was that the Chiefs got 2 days ago, Everybody knew he was going to be released. But the Chiefs really liked him, so they gave a seventh-round draft pick. He never would have made it to them in the waiver claim, right? Kadarius Toney was in that same boat. Everybody knew they were going to release Kadarius Toney. If you didn't, you haven't been paying attention, right? Because all these people, it's a surprise. That's not a surprise cut. You knew the name. It's not a surprise cut.
We would have been shocked if he was on this roster. We
would have been stunned if he would have made this roster. So everybody knew that this guy was going to get cut. There wasn't one other team out there that was willing to even throw a seventh round pick towards the Chiefs to have the opportunity to get Kadarius Toney. Will he be claimed on waivers? I would like to think somebody out there is desperate and would probably give him an opportunity just to see what he could have. But Kadarius Toney literally did something that 31 NFL teams couldn't do. They broke Patrick Mahomes. The man broke Patrick Mahomes. The Bengals couldn't do it. Buffalo couldn't do it. Baltimore couldn't do it. Philly couldn't do it. San Francisco can't do it. All these teams have tried to break Patrick Mahomes. Kadarius Toney legitimately broke Patrick Mahomes like I've never seen Patrick Mahomes before. And once that happened in that Buffalo game, you knew right then and there that dude's days were numbered here in Kansas City.
Yeah, Binkley brings up a good point from last year, and you could have heard Jay Binkley today at 6:45. You missed it. He's back on Wednesdays for college football analysis and moving forward with this whole sports world that is football, baseball, and women's soccer as well, as it's a great time to be in Kansas City, great time to listen to Jay Binkley on the podcast on the Odyssey app.
Right.
But the other thing that's great about this is that you bring up stats that define why somebody would probably get cut from a team. And Binkley brought this up last year, that Kadarius Toney technically could have been and should have been the reason this team wasn't the first overall seed in the NFL.
It was.
They would have had a win over Detroit, mm-hmm. I think, because he drops that pass, gets tipped, and goes for a pick six. Then later in the game, there's a ball that goes right through his hands where if he makes the catch in one move, he's gone. I truly believe you can go back and look at it. There's nobody behind him. His speed, he would have been to the house. And then the game against Buffalo. Like, yep. You probably win that game. The momentum swing, the way that stadium was going, I was there. We were all jumping up and jacked up and everything was like that. The Buffalo Bills would have been absolutely just devastated to get the ball back, knowing the significance of that play, but he lined up offsides. That's two wins that cost you the number one seed, both heavily to be blamed. Again, I'm not one guy that's going to say you can blame one guy, but in this situation, it seems very evidently obvious that Kadarius Toney, if he just doesn't do what he did wrong on those plays and does what he's supposed to do right, the Chiefs have two more wins. The Chiefs never go to Baltimore. The Chiefs never go to Buffalo. And maybe you could look back and say, well, if they don't, do they still have the same result? Probably, because they're pretty good at home as well.
They're pretty good at home. And but you're right. Like, and I think Binkley's right as well with that. Kadarius Toney legitimately cost you two wins, yep. And legitimately cost you another AFC home championship game.
Yeah.
And when you have players like that, you've got to remove those guys from your roster. Are you an energy giver or are you an energy sucker? And Kadarius Toney was clearly an energy sucker. He wasn't doing anything to move the team forward. He was pulling that team back. He was holding that team back. Kadarius Toney, quite honestly, and I'm not trying to be funny with this.
Okay.
The Buffalo Bills should sign Kadarius Toney, because without Kadarius Toney, Sean McDermott's probably not a head coach today in the NFL.
Because if they lose that game, you think it's over?
I do. Because they're not going to make the playoffs at that point in time. They would have spiraled out of control, and it would have been done in Buffalo, and they would have fired Sean McDermott probably after this season. That game gave Buffalo new life, gave Buffalo new hope, gave them the tiebreaker over us. If I'm Buffalo right now, I'm calling Kadarius Toney, and I'm saying, hey, we got a spot for you. Come on in here. You helped save my job. Now, he may cost you your job this year, but he prevented Sean McDermott from getting fired last year. Like Kadarius Toney had a very negative impact on a team. It's not often, guys, that you can legitimately look at one player and blame that individual. Like, I'm not a blame the refs, blame an umpire type of guy. There's other things that happen over the course of the game. We're not blaming the referees. Mm-hmm. And I never like to really just signal one player, like, oh my God, the kicker blew that game or the closer blew that game or whatnot. It's usually a team effort. Kadarius Toney, though, was one of those guys that you could just look at and say, nah, that dude cost us two games. Detroit on the opener, and then the Buffalo game. And instead of being 11-6 or whatever we were, you're 13-4. And nobody's talking about a down year and all this nonsense. You're talking about the Chiefs being that number one overall seed again. But Kadarius Toney broke this organization. He broke the quarterback. He broke the head coach. He broke the offensive coordinator. And they're like, all right, we got to get rid of this guy. And because of that, now you got to spin that into a positive. They went out and revamped that entire wide receiver spot. And Patrick Mahomes may now have the best weapons collectively that he's ever had as the quarterback here in Kansas City, because they ain't letting Kadarius Toney get in the way again.
Yeah, we may have to send Toney a thank you card after another 50 and 5,000 year for this offense, because he lit a fire under this whole team. I mean, You ask Dusty if he'll join another team. I think someone else is going to say, you know what? I can fix him. But if Andy Reid couldn't, I just don't.
And Patrick Mahomes.
I just don't think you can.
But
I'm
you
sorry.
Have to want to be fixed, too. Like, Kadarius Toney came in here and from jump was arguing with Giant fans on social media. Yep. I got to be honest with you, man. If I'm one of those fans that kind of got into it with Kadarius Toney and he was, like, ripping you, I'm going back at him today. Yeah. I'm going, how's your job going now, Kadarius? How's Kansas City treating you right now, right? Yeesh. Like, the fans got the last word in on Kadarius Toney, and part of the reason why they're able to do that is because he was focused on things that didn't matter. He wasn't focused on what was necessary, and that was being a good enough football player to last here in Kansas City. It's sad. It really is that you have a guy with that kind of talent have, you know, not the ability to go out there and realize that talent. And they always say, you know, you gotta go out there and utilize the talents that are given to you. And if you don't want to go out there and utilize those talents that are given to you, man, like, what are we supposed to do as a society? It's up to that individual. This is not on the Chiefs. This is not on the Giants. This is on Kadarius Toney.
You say the Buffalo game is what was the final straw. I would say I would agree, but also disagree that the final straw was when he came out on social media and said he wasn't really hurt.
Yeah, that probably didn't help either.
That was probably the straw that broke the camel's back at that point, because it's like, I'm not really hurt. They're just saying, it's like, okay. Like, one, we know the Chiefs don't like the players to go to social media and go after other teams. We saw that with Justin Reed and the Cincinnati Bengals. Maybe it was last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then this year.
Was it last year?
It was two years ago. And then this year it was like, yeah, I'm not really hurt. It's like, okay.
Yeah, all right.
Goodbye. Good riddance. One thing that we can bring up is we keep the wide receivers here, and then we'll bring up a hypothetical for you, the text line, 913-586-7965. One thing that you can also think of is, sometimes when something happens close to home, it can change somebody else if that sort of result didn't happen to them. Maybe this is something that causes Sky Moore a little bit of concern, where it's like, ooh, I was close. I don't want to be in that position again. What do I do to get my game up to where I can stay on this team, whether that be a reliable punt or kick returner?
Yeah.
Or
just be reliable for Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. We try to be relatable. These guys need to be reliable for a Patrick Mahomes to kind of keep that job. And I think this is one of those things that maybe an addition by subtraction can cause Sky Moore to be like, okay, I thought I was doing something better than I was last year, and I clearly wasn't, because I was on the fringe playing in, you know, preseason games late. What do I need to do to make sure that I'm not in that situation next year?
And here's the other thing, too. You know, as bad as those wide receivers were last year, it still goes to show you how good Patrick Mahomes is as a quarterback, that he was able to overcome the weakness that was, you know, your number one position group anymore in the NFL. He was able to overcome a really big weakness and still lead this team to a Super Bowl. It's pretty damn impressive what he's done. But as far as Sky Moore, yeah, you got a little bit of a new lease on life. I wouldn't get comfortable. Like, right. I'm not sitting back going, whew, I got this roster thing locked up for the next year.
Right.
You got to go out there and be that reliable receiver for Patrick Mahomes. When he throws you the football in that first game a week from tomorrow, you damn well better catch it. Like, I don't know that there's going to be much room this year for guys going out there and not making the plays that they're supposed to make. Patrick went through that last year. He does not want PTSD from that all over again. And when you go through those tough situations and you have a break and you think you've recovered from those tough situations and then you see it again immediately, it's hard not to revert back to that PTSD and be like, oh my God, what am I going to do in this situation? I got another guy that can't catch the football. I see shades of 19 all over again. So, Sky, my advice to you is be reliable. Make the plays. As Bill Belichick says, do your job.
That's right.
You got a guy in a practice squad, Remigio, that'll be right under you. With that short leash, if Moore makes a mistake, I believe Remigio immediately gets moved up.
Other notable players cut, Lucas Niang and Irv Smith, my guy. Love me some Irv.
Just Lucas Niang cut himself when he was drafted, but he didn't show up, you know, took the pandemic year off and just never really recovered.
Speaking of other players, I will bring this up because Bob, you had a hypothetical. Out of any player on a roster in the NFL, and you can chime in as well, 913-586-7965, any player on a current active NFL roster that you could add to this Chiefs team this year, who would it be? Mac, why don't you kick it off?
Yeah, I don't know why. I just kind of go to defense with these questions. I guess it's just because I trust Mahomes and Reed to kind of figure it out, even though it would maybe be more fun to watch him throw to a crazy number one receiver. But I don't know. I just think about Chris Jones. You got George Karlaftis, who we've talked about. Put on the other edge, a Myles Garrett, a DPOY 16-sack type player. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one's scoring against us. Have fun. Trip McDuffie, welcome to your first
interception. No one's scoring against us anyway.
Yeah, it's fair.
I don't think the Chiefs are going to give up 1 point this year.
That's awesome. Yeah, good for you. Myles Garrett, though, would be my pick there.
Okay, I'm going with CMC.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I mean, just the so many different ways that you can utilize him. I think you add him into this offense, forget about it.
Andy Reid's salivating.
Yeah. So is Patrick. So am I.
I think I'm going Sauce Gardner.
I like that pick.
I like Sauce a lot.
Which kind?
We had this discussion yesterday. I think the best fast food sauce of all time is sweet and sour.
I agree with you. The best fast food all time is that McDonald's sweet and
Our
sour sauce.
Our boys never had it.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I can't get over that.
I mean, yeah.
You like Applebee's chicken strips, but you don't have McDonald's chicken nuggets and sweet and sour?
Yeah, like you and I were like simpatico on the three sauces from McDonald's. Yeah. It's the barbecue, it's the sweet and sour, and it was the hot mustard. That's all you need.
Really all you need. Now they have the Big Mac sauce. That wasn't pictured, but I'd get that.
Is that a McNugget sauce, though? Or you can't
do whatever you
want.
Do you
want to dip your McNuggets in that?
I'll dip a damn fry in that thing, man.
All right.
Put it anything in there. McNugget, McChicken, Big Mac, even more sauce.
That's what I want.
That's what you want.
That's what
right?
I want.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But Sauce Gardner to me would just make you talk about not giving up any points. I mean, you saw what this team did last year with Legarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie. Now you've got another year of experience with Trent McDuffie where he's the alpha dog. You also throw another dog on that team with Sauce Gardner, shut down every single wide receiver there is in the league. You wouldn't see anybody score whatsoever.
Sauce Gardner would be great on this team. I love that guy, man.
Awesome. And you know the Jets are going to somehow screw that whole situation up at some point.
Oh, of course.
But no, I would just love to have two lockdown corners on the outside. Like we were talking the other day, a buddy of mine said he'd like to have, you could take any player in their prime and put them on the Chiefs for a three-peat. Buddy and of mine, and plus the text line said Deion Sanders, it's kind of the same thing. You put Sauce Gardner and Trent McDuffie in the backfield. You put Justin Reed, Brian Cook, you know, all those kind of guys out there that can be on the defense. Plus, you look at what this team's biggest attribute can be, that defensive line. You put Chris Jones and George Karlaftis on the defensive line, and you give Sauce Gardner and Trent McDuffie that much more time to cover these receivers in the NFL. Dude, this defense would be so electric.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nasty, man. But speaking of nasty, Cleveland got a little nasty. We asked Royals manager Matt Cotrero what you do. He says it wasn't intentional, but we wrap up this show one last time as we give you our Royals content to wrap up Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Missouri athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Damn right we're back. Back in first place. Three games back. Of the best record in baseball, the hell with your American League stat. Three games back from the best record in baseball, your Kansas City Royals, first place in the AL Central, first place in your hearts, and first sport to be talked about here on 96.5 The Fan of Fesco and Dusty McMorrie as well. 913-586-7965. Describe to me in one word how you feel today. One word.
Wow, that's a tough one because it's not...
That was seven.
It's not like thrilled... It's, I don't know, content, I think, is the word that I'm looking for today. Like, after you had a really good meal and you knew it was going to be a good meal and it paid off.
Yeah,
like,
that makes sense.
I mean, last week I guaranteed you they were going to win this division. And here we are right now in first place. What everybody said it couldn't be, I kind of just step back a little bit and go, that was good. I told you.
913-586-7965. Your first place Royals have you feeling what in one word? Mac, you want to take a stab at this?
You kind of said it earlier. Mm. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't know. Let me think about that. Content doesn't feel like enough because I feel like I'm more than content.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm less than thrilled because you said thrilled and that's not enough. So I don't know.
Yeah. Text line says alive. That's a good one.
Yeah, energetic, alive. Yeah, that's a good
Somebody said hopeful. Now, if we're talking sports, I don't like the term hopeful because we're not hoping anymore. We're in the moment. We're going for a three-peat, and we have a first-place baseball club. We're not hoping anymore.
No.
Now, if it's hopeful for something else that's going on in life, all for it, man. Have that. But if for our sports teams right now, no, hope is done. It's about now going out there and expecting.
Three teams are 78 wins. Those are the Phillies, Dodgers, and Yankees. There's one team with 77. That's the Baltimore Orioles. And then there are one, two, three, four, five teams with 75 wins. Brewers, D-backs, Padres, Royals, Guardians. Royals hopefully have 76 wins by the end of the day, and the other teams lose in the American League because, like we said, 2.5 games above the Twins in the division. In first place, but the tiebreaker over the Guardians in the Central as well. You go look at the overall records. You're three behind the Yankees. You're two behind the Baltimore Orioles. and you have a 6.5 game lead over the last place or the next closest wildcard team outside of Minnesota. So to think that the playoffs aren't going to happen is not true.
No, it's
you're all but in.
You're in.
You got 29 games left. You're 4-2 in the first six games of the Riptide. Your bullpen has showed up in the most important time of the year, and other guys are starting to shine as well, from MJ Melendez to Paul DeJong, who really started the fire yesterday when it came to...
Actually, Billy Joel did that.
That's right.
That's well hit into right center field. Go, ball. It will go, yes. Indeed, into the third row. Paul DeJong goes to the opposite field.
And you always know that if the Royals are doing well, the Royals go as HUD goes. And I've always loved to hear HUD just groan with home runs.
Oh! MJ! How many ballparks can hold that one?
Leader in RBIs. Oh. And he's got more.
Oh. Vinny. Deep right field. And now Melendez.
Oh.
Look at that.
Oh. Salvi.
Baby. The ball.
Oh.
And he got on top of that one.
Usually do.
Oh, get it.
Oh.
And Vinny smokes it to right.
Oh. So if you've ever wanted to know if there's ever a home run hit, all you've got to do is listen for HUD, and you'll hear it, because
that's well hit into right.
Well,
center.
It wasn't there. But either way you want to look at it, DeJong
swing
hit the home
miss.
Run. Yeah, there you go. You can't win them all. But other
unless
words,
that was the radio call, though. That
could have been.
You know,
you can hear here on 96.5 The Fan that game today at, I believe, 12:40, or is it 12:10?
I thought it was 12:10.
12:10.
Right?
Yeah, 12:10. Vern's pregame show starts at 11. Alex and Cody will go till 11. Mm-hmm. So they'll be on from 10 until 11. But again, the word that we ask is one word that has you feeling a certain way today about where the Royals sit in first place.
Yeah.
Somebody says dominant. Somebody says right on, Dustman, horny.
Yep.
Fair enough. I mean, it's not me saying that.
Surprised,
I mean, maybe kind of is.
Surprised is another one that's coming in.
Wet, ecstatic, yeah.
Not
excited.
Dry, but that's two words.
Invigorated,
revived,
erected.
Revived is a good one. Yeah, you feel good. You feel revived a little bit.
Welcome
right?
to the arrival of the revival.
Yeah.
That's what I'm calling it. Steal a little line from Zach Bryan. But it's awesome to see this, because we mentioned the stat earlier that, you know, Rustin Dodd had named and said that this is the first time, or could be the first time, if the Royals go 17-12 over their final 29 games, they would have a year improvement of plus 36. It'd be the first time in the history of baseball since the 1903 Giants did it in the biggest year ever. No team has ever gone from 100 losses to a division championship. They really are doing a worst to first in front of our very own naked eyes, and you love to see it.
So that's 121 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's sure. alive from right? Like nobody's right. alive from 1903. So they're doing something that literally nobody on planet Earth has ever seen done before. But again, I just keep going back to going, I don't care about last year, because it's just not the same. And I know in baseball, we love the stats, and what makes baseball great is also what's kind of held baseball back. Like in the NFL, you would never hear something like that, right?
No.
Like back in 30 years ago, like the NFL could care less about their history, or couldn't care less about their history. Where in baseball, everything is compared to what happened in the past. And I'm a history buff. I like history a lot. I like to learn and why things happen, but I can't use history at all with this team, because number one, it's not the same team. Number two, they're defying everything, right? You don't normally see teams just revamp their entire roster in one off season like the Royals did. And that's a tribute to John Sherman for allowing JJ to go out there and really assert who he is as the owner of this team. Cause when he took over at the beginning of a global pandemic, right? And then a half season with half fans, no fans. And then he finally is able to get in and truly show who he is as the owner of the team. And last offseason was his first true opportunity, in my opinion, to really do that. And he showed what he's going to be like as the owner of this team. And that, to me, is the biggest takeaway, is that we now have an owner of our baseball team who isn't going to sit around and allow us to flounder around. He's going to put his best foot forward and give his owner, give his GM and his coaches and his manager all the resources that they need to go out there and put a winning team on the field. That's what I'm taking away from this season.
The thing that's great about it is that you say you like history. The history of this Royals team this year was in the preseason. They went out and they got acquisitions to make the team better. They went and fixed their starting pitching. They got two legit veteran leaders in Lugo and Waka. They signed Bobby Witt Jr. Then, hold my beer, they play competitive and aggressive baseball until the trade deadline. Then they go get guys like Hunter Harvey, who will be coming back shortly. Mm-hmm. You'd think that maybe injuries were causing to be a little sporadic and wild, and we'll see what happens next. They go get Lucas Irsic. He's your closer. He's your door closer. He's your shutter of the game. He's everything that you want in that ninth inning. And then Paul DeJong as well, who's played great third base, who's been kind of that Ben Zobrist-esh type of player that's given you an extra bat in your lineup that's extended the lineup a little bit. And then since the 10-day injury for MJ Melendez, he's really shown up and been a player in this lineup, whether it's defensively or whether it's offensively as well. You now have a legit 2-7, and you'll get Hunter Renfroe back as well. You got Darren Blanco, who can come off the bench, who's a good addition. You've got
Him in the box as a DH instead of in right field.
And you've got good team speed, you've got good team defense, and you've got good team pitching. And we know with those three ingredients, that can be the mold that can bake you a World Series championship run more so than a playoff berth, because if you do win your division and you do finish with one of the best records in baseball, let alone the American League, you're getting a bye and you're guaranteed to have baseball, playoff baseball in Kansas City and a best of five.
Well, and I also think too, when I look at, you know, what the Royals are doing right now and making it into the postseason and leading this division, they're doing it with guys who we weren't counting on, at least this week against Cleveland. Nobody would give the bullpen a chance to do what they did yesterday. That was awesome. You know, what they've done in this series, what they did especially yesterday, was absolutely fantastic. You got to tip your cap to them. And then yesterday, they're getting production from Massey. They're getting production from Garcia. They're getting production from Paul DeJong. Like, they're getting production from guys who aren't named Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi. And when you do that and you have other guys step up, that's a great sign, because that shows you the entire lineup is producing and you're not just relying on three guys. I thought yesterday was kind of a microcosm to how the Royals are going to win games in October. And if everybody does, you know, kind of what they've done in these three games against Cleveland moving forward, they're going to go on a streak, man, and they may sit there with the best record in baseball by the time it's all said and done.
Your 2-3-4 hitters are all going to have 100 RBIs, 20-plus home runs, doubles out the wazoo. Not only that, you have three starting pitchers that you could pick from to go into the playoffs and be your three-headed monster. You have an MVP candidate in Bobby Witt every year moving forward. You have Salvador Perez, who's the captain, who has World Series experience, obviously an MVP in that World Series. Sign me up. Let's go. I'm ready to get going at 12:10 today and do nothing but watch this team go for a sweep against Cleveland. And they're doing another thing that people have asked them to do of recent.
Yeah.
Go beat a good team. They're not only beating a good team, they're handling the good team.
Yeah.
They went through a 2.5-hour rain delay last night, or 2 hours and 15 minutes, damn near a whole baseball game, and still came out on the other side clean and win. They went in the other night. It was a close game. They hit a game-winning home run, 1-4-3. Closer came in and Irsic shut the door. Next game of the doubleheader, your captain hits a home run to put the Royals in front, then hits a grand slam to open the door and win the game 9-4. You've done exactly what you need to do against a good team. You've shown Cleveland you're there. I see that they threw a little bit high and tight to Bobby Witt Jr. Spit on it. Put your foot on the throat. Continue to just beat the snot out of Cleveland and get out of Cleveland, move on to Houston and play another big series and take care of another good team and just control your own fate.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's no more scoreboard watching. I could feel a little relief, kind of, you know, the air out of the balloon a little bit, because I'm not worried about other teams anymore. We're in first place now, and that's all that matters. Like, we're sitting there on top of the world in first place. And it doesn't matter what the Yankees do. It doesn't matter what the Orioles do. It doesn't matter what the Red Sox do. It doesn't matter what Houston does. It doesn't matter what Cleveland, Minnesota, or Seattle do. It's all about us right now. We go out there and take care of business. We're not going to have to worry about wild cards or anything like that. We'll have home playoff baseball here in Kansas City.
We finish with this. Go do nice things for someone. You never know what could change their day, week, month, or year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind. That's Bob Fesco, Mac Morning. I'm Dusty Likens. A little treat for you as you go on throughout your day. Cody and Gold next on 96.5 The Fan.
We're where you want to be. With the Royals, if you want to be
having a great time,
you want to be
loving the fun,
you want to see all of the excitement, this is the place, and we're the one. If you want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see, come on out and join us, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
if you want to see
the best of the big leagues,
you want to be
loving the day. Come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays.
This is where it happens. Come on and see.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be.